I was in the middle of packing up my son's room, and in the middle of packing up my son's room, getting ready to make this move and make this transition at the new year, I look over on the wall, and I look past the graffiti that when he was younger, he scribbled all up on the wall. You know, for him, he's tagging his space, I guess. You know, he's a county kid now, but, you know, wants your hood, what do? So it's in his DNA. But anyway, so I look past all the markings all over the wall and everything, and I look over to some different set of markings, and on the side of the wall right there near his closet are these markings, and they have little dates, and some are in pencil, and some are in ink, and some are in, you know, crayon. And I look over, and all of a sudden there were some particular markings that made a huge difference for me. And those markings were evidence of my son's growth. You see, we had been in this particular house 7 years. And so when we moved into the house, he was walking by the countertops, and we were nervous that he might hit his head on a countertop. But when we are leaving the house, he's jumping all over our countertops, hopping over them. And so being in one place and looking at that one wall, I was able to see evidence of my child's growth. One thing that's beautiful about seeing that is just the joy of growth and understanding that that's exactly how it's supposed to be. Because you see, healthy things grow. Healthy things grow. So as we begin thinking about our own lives and being introspective and thinking about the year ahead, we have to first just come to the grips with the reality that, you know what? Healthy things, they grow. And if I look in different areas of society and life, when I plant a garden, I would fully expect to see growth. And if I don't see growth, then I'm disappointed and I wonder what happened in the process to where growth didn't take place. When I'm in a relationship, if I don't tend to the soil of the relationship, then the relationship may not grow. But if it's a healthy relationship, and if I'm tending to the soil of that relationship, the relationship itself will grow. We will grow. If you've met anyone who's been married more than 7, 8, 10 years, you find that they've had to give up some of the pettiness and some of the small fights. They've had to not get their own way all the time. They've had to find ways to navigate around the small things that used to trip them up in favor of growth in the relationship. You see, plants grow, animals grow, relationships grow. When you send your child to school, you expect them to grow in their education. And if we don't have growth in all of these areas of life and society, we pause and we go back and we say, if I care about this particular area, I'm going to fight for growth. I'm going to go back and I'm going to see, are we growing? Are we getting better? But it's amazing to me as a pastor. I've been in full-time ministry now since I came out of college. I came out of college a year early and went down and helped the church get started in the year 2000. And so in these 17 years now of full-time ministry, working with people, loving on people, marrying and burying and being there when babies are born and doing all of that, what I've noticed, sadly, is that while we want an encouraging word from God, while we want to believe that God has His best, which He does for us, when we want to believe that we can just look over the horizon and our best is yet to come, when we want to hold on to all these things and we want to be encouraged that we're still loved, when we want the forgiveness of our brokenness and our sin, when we want and thirst after all of these things, while all of these things are true and all of these things are right and all of these things are good, what breaks my heart as a pastor is that we don't necessarily look at our spiritual lives and look for those markers on the wall as I did for my son to see growth. We don't look into our souls and say, am I growing? Do I have a game plan for growth? Do I look more like the man or woman that God designed me to be? Not do I look more like the preacher or the lady that hosts the Bible study. Not do I look more or less like somebody else in this room, but rather do I look more like what Jesus would look like if he was in my flesh? Jesus lived out through me. Now you can go back and you can look at your income and you could say, my income was at this level when I was 16 or 17 and I was working my first couple jobs, or my income was here when I was 23. And you can look back and say, have I been growing? Have I been moving forward? You could look at investments and say, am I putting money away? Is that growing? You can look at almost every area of life. Your doctor, when you come in, will look at your charts and find out, how are things going, and are you growing? Are you going towards health or further away? But for some reason, as Christ followers, when we get in front of the spiritual mirror, we have a very hard time saying, Lord, am I growing? Am I becoming the woman that you designed me to be when you thought of me? Am I becoming the man of God that you've designed me to be? Am I growing? And so today I want to encourage you with some words from Scripture. I want to be able to reveal for all of us, illuminate the words of Scripture to say that growth is valuable because healthy things grow. And if your relationship with God is healthy, it should grow too. And there's no shame to be able to say, I need to get a growth plan together. You see, at Captivate, the way that we do this is we've developed the heart of God. And in different local churches, Christian churches would hopefully there's some sort of growth plan or growth track. And really, as we begin this year, what we're saying is, you know, no one drifts towards excellence. No one drifts towards excellence. No one drifts towards a goal. You don't just wake up and say, man, it's a good thing I slept through this past year because, man, look at where I am now. You don't drift there. And so the heart of God is kind of our roadmap that we use to help people grow spiritually. When I meet with you, what I'm looking for are evidences of the heart of God to be able to determine where you are so then I can prescribe the best medicine for what's next for you. And that's going to look different for everybody in this room, spiritually speaking, is that we're all going to be in different places and have different things going on in our lives. But the heart of God is really a design for us to be able to walk through. And that's go, gather, grow, give, glorify, go. So you know your story. You're brought into the family of God when you have a redeemed story. You gather together. We talked last week about gathering together with other believers in true fellowship, real relationships in Christ. But then we need to grow, not only hang out with others like we are this morning or maybe go to a group once a week, but true, genuine fellowship that spurs us on to growth. What I desire, and I pray what you desire, is a church family around me that gets to know me intimately and accepts me for where I've been, but also challenges me to become more of the man or woman that God designed me to be. And so that's what we seek when we talk about growth here at Captivate, is that growth. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 is where we'll be today. I want to read through the whole passage together of Ephesians 4, 1 to 16. And then we're going to zoom in on verses 11 to 16 and talk about ways for us to grow and joy in growing together. The Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. I'm not going to preach and teach much on that, but bearing together in love. You cannot bear with another person in love unless there is a weight that has been put on you to have to bear with that person in love. Which means that when we become spiritually mature, we understand that not everybody's going to treat us exactly the way that they should. We have to bear with each other's brokenness. We have to bear with each other's frailty and understanding that, you know, we come from different places and we have different stories and we may trip over ourselves in wanting to love everybody. There may be disgruntled times that come in relationship, but you know what? A healthy relationship, a growing relationship, allows you to bear with one another in love, in the spirit of love. eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is maturity. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also had descended into the lower regions, into the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. This is speaking of Jesus. And the question is, how can the word say that he ascended unless he had also descended and he come down? So he's speaking back to Jesus and saying, you know what? Because Jesus came, it's the same one who gave the church gifts. And then verse 11 gets into our emphasis today. And he gave to the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. This is who Jesus gave in the church. Why? Verse 12. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature to manhood, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children. Growth. Tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking truth in love, we are to grow up. Everybody say, grow up. We're to grow up into every way, into Him, into the head, into Christ, for whom the whole body, that's all of us, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So we rewind and go focus on verse 11 here, and we start to unpack this. And it says this, and he gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. So when we talk about growth, you say, Pastor, I don't really know how to grow. I don't know where to start. I don't know if I have a growth plan. Let me ask you this. How many of you would say, Pastor, I have a spiritual growth plan in my life? Like, I'm being honest, I have a game plan right now on how I'm going to grow spiritually in 2017. You see, I ask that not to beat us down at all. I ask that because most of us haven't thought that way. But if I were to ask you, how are you measured at work when you have your accountability reviews, when you have your pay reviews, if I were to ask you, do you have a measuring stick by which you can determine whether or not you are growing in your job, or whether or not you are going out on enough calls, or whether or not you are helping enough patients, or whether or not you are closing enough cases, whether or not you are working with enough clients? Like, you have measurements. Every store, every company, every business, every organization has measurements. If you run a company, you understand that you have to keep an eye on the details. You have to keep an eye on the measurements. Why? Because at the end of the year, all of it adds up. If we put out enough communication, there will be a certain percentage of people that will hear about our product or service, and those certain percentage of people will check us out or investigate. And then after that, a certain percentage of that is going to turn into a sale. And then after that, a certain percentage, if we walk through the right funnel, they're going to end up becoming a customer for multiple sales. And so all of it starts and ends in the business world is to say, hey, we've just got to count what counts. But when we get to our souls, many of us have a dividing line. What we understand in the flesh, we don't apply in the supernatural. We don't apply to the Spirit, because what we say is, well, this is an area that it's okay for me not even to have a game plan. And church, I want to implore you. I want to call you and ask you, if there is a God in heaven, if there is a God in heaven who has designed you to be most like His Son Jesus, who has equipped you and called you and set you apart as His own, is if the scripture says that he knit you together in your mother's womb, if this is who this God is, and if Jesus came and said, there is redemption for you, you have the ability to be redeemed and live up to everything that God had designed you to be, even in spite of sin and hurt and shame and guilt. And if this God who knows you by name, who knows every number of hair on your head, who knows every part of your story, who knows what you think before it ever comes out of your mouth, if that God has a game plan to help you become the man or woman that he designed you to be, don't you think that you and I should take the time to say, Lord, I need to grow spiritually. I need to investigate, and I need to write something down. I need to count what counts. Many of us, we've never been encouraged or challenged to develop a game plan for this part of ourselves. But if you worked a brand new entry-level job at a restaurant, guess what? There's at almost every drive-thru of every fast food joint that you go through. Do you ever peer through the window, especially when it's taken a few minutes? Right? And you see, and you're wondering, like, does anybody know I'm out here? And so you lean in a little bit. You're like, I just want my food. But you lean in, and what do you see? The numbers are moving. You see a countdown clock. Or in some, it's a count-up clock. What's that there for? It's there so that they can measure how long it's taking for every single car to get through the drive-thru. And the person who's being held to account by this clock, they're there making a minimum wage or a dollar more. Now, I look at my soul, and I look at your soul, and I say, is it worth more than minimum wage for you to count what counts in your life? For you to take measurement, for you to take stock, for you to take inventory, for you to know the metrics by which growth can happen, and then set out to accomplish them? Is it worth the growing? And the scripture says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds. Here's what I want to tell you today. As you're looking to count what counts, as you're looking to that, God gave you some people to help. God gives wisdom through his workers. God gives wisdom through his workers. The apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, their role in the church is to count what counts. The apostles' job is to go into new, unreached places, to go in and say, do we have anyone in this area who knows about Jesus? Are we saturated here with the gospel yet? So the apostle is the person that goes in to areas that haven't heard the gospel or have a need for the gospel. The prophet comes in, and the prophet's job, now some of these overlap, but the prophet's job is to come in and to speak God's truth over a situation. And so what do they have to do? They have to say, is the truth of God being declared here? We're trying to count what counts. And then the evangelist's job. How many people in this room understand and know that God loves them and that God redeemed them through Jesus and that new life and new hope await them if they would just trust in Jesus? And the evangelist comes in and says, let's count what counts. What percentage of this room that I'm speaking knows the gospel and the glory of God? The shepherds come in, and the shepherds say, okay, fine, we came into an unreached area, and we proclaimed the gospel, we evangelized, but then what? Well, then we need somebody to teach. Now that I understand that I need saved, what do I need to do next? And the shepherd's role is to move a person to maturity, to walk with them in life. And then you have teachers. And the teachers are at a more detailed level. And the teachers come in and they say, okay, you're being shepherded towards who you are in Christ. I'm here to help you understand what the scriptures mean and to wrestle with you in questions and maybe you have a small group in a home. And so we're here. And so all along the way, God is counting what counts through the leaders of the church, the workers of the church. There are countless men and women that have poured into my life to help me understand the gospel, the goodness of God for me. There are those in my life who God used for a season or a year or two. And there are those that have stuck with me for most of my adult life. There are those who came into my life in 8 or 10 years ago and just started to pour into me. And I am so thankful that their desire for me is to grow spiritually. I'm so thankful that the way I looked up at my son's wall and I could see measuring sticks, I'm so thankful I've got men and women that look at me and say, Tali, 2 years ago, you were this guy. But by the grace of God, I've noticed this about you. By the grace of God, 5 years ago, you were this man. And this is how you used to react or respond. And by the grace of God, I'm seeing growth in you. You see, I thrive off of people that care enough to invest in me. And the Lord has given you people in your life as you develop a growth plan. The Lord has brought people about that are there for you to be able to invest in you. But here's what I'm understanding in life. And this is a season I'm going through right now myself with some other situations. I cannot will growth on another person. I cannot give you the heart's desire to become the woman or the man that God designed you to be. No matter how much I try. I can do everything for my children, and I can put everything in front of them, and I can make sure that they have the opportunities. I can work hard and fight, and I can go and advocate. But at the end of the day, if my children don't take advantage of the opportunity to grow, then they won't grow. And so for the kingdom of God, God looks and says, listen, I've given you people if you'll take advantage. They're right there. This is their role. They've been set apart for me. They are called our elders of the church and myself. And we have a lot of lay leadership that's all present here. And so if you're one that says, I want to grow, I don't want to be the same man in 2018 that I am in 2017. I don't want to be the same woman in 2019 as I am in 2017. Well, then you have to understand that it is a gift of God, that God has given wisdom through His workers. Are you going to reach out and find some people to walk with you as you grow? Why did God give us workers? Verse 12 says this, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to mature to manhood. We grow in our faith for personal maturity and public ministry. We grow in our faith for personal maturity and public ministry. It's both personal and public that God calls you to grow in Him. Now, growing in Him is simply, who would Jesus be in my skin? Growing in Him is not taking apart who you are and your identity. Growing in Him is enhancing your identity with the power of the gospel of God. What does that look like through a 16-year-old young lady? Or what does it look like through a 50-year-old man? What does it look like through a 30-year-old young woman that has been through different trials and strains? What does it look like to the person who was divorced at one point and is now single again, or is now searching for their mate, or divorced and remarried? What does it look like through each of our eyes to surrender our life to the glory of God and the good of others? You see, growth is to develop us inside, but also to have a public ministry, to equip the saints for the work. Everybody say, for the work. You see, because the worst thing you can do, you can feel about a church, is that the job is to make me feel good, and then I go home and I feel good. You see, the reason that God gave us people in our lives is to equip us for the work of the ministry, to go out and to be a blessing to others. God blesses you to be a blessing. God blesses to be a blessing. If we aren't a blessing after we've been blessed by God, we become a spiritual cul-de-sac and we hold His goodness right where we are. And we're like that person who never gets up from the buffet. We eat lunch. They change the tables. We eat dinner. We sleep. They serve breakfast. And at some point we say, hey, you have to get up and push away from the table. You see, growth is there so that we can become the men and women God designed us to be. And the part of the men and women God designed us to be was to go out and to benefit other people's lives. To learn how to be and live generously. Spiritual growth is both personal and public. The scripture says, in the same way, let your light shine before others. Why? So that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. In another place, it says in 1 Peter 2, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. You see, the growth that happens in us is actually, yes, it's for us, but ultimately it's for the benefit of the watcher or the hearer or the other. Growth in me is to benefit you. Growth in you is to benefit me. And so each one of us, the world is looking and they're saying, with all the chaos and all the stress and every 4 or 8 years, half of our society's falling apart at the seams, the world's going to end for everybody. And all of that, they're looking and they're saying, where is God in all of it? You know where God in all of it should be? It's right here. In the body of Christ, the people of Christ, and in the midst of all of us, that to be mature in our faith and not be tossed to and fro, is what the scripture says. When we are mature, we go out and minister. We go out and love others. Each one of us, we have to learn and say, hey, I should be growing, not just because I should, not because it's an end in itself. I should be growing because God has a vision for me. God has a plan for my life. If I was to ask, I wonder how many of us would say, I gave up on the idea that God still has a plan. I mean, I come to church and I show up. I put the jersey on, but I've given up on the idea that I'm going to win a title. I've given up on the idea that there's a championship at the end of all this. I've given up on the idea that God can still use me. I'm just wearing the jersey. I want you to understand, in your life and in my life, God has a plan for you to change the world in a quite literal way, to change the world to look more like the kingdom of God in love and grace and forgiveness and healing and hope and all these things. God has called the church to rise up and to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. But if we're not growing, and if we're not measuring, if we're not counting what counts, if we're not trying to see who we should be, then the world misses out on the beautiful gift of what it would be to you living life at your fullest. The world misses out because you're just trying to get by. You're just trying to maintain. And here God is wanting to be a blessing to the world around you, using you, through you. The scripture continues in Ephesians 4:14, so that we may no longer be children. Everyone say children. The call is for us to no longer be children in the faith, to no longer live off of yesterday's blessing, to no longer live as first graders in 18-year-old bodies. The call for us is to be grown-ups, to be mature, so we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by what's out there that could toss us around, waves carried out by every wind of doctrine. Are we growing in doctrine? Are we growing in an understanding of God to where when someone comes up and speaks and they say in a plurality world, in a world where everybody says every opinion and thought is equal, do we have people, are we growing up in our faith to where we could say that does not sound like the God of the Bible? Are we growing in every part of our doctrine? By human cunning, by craftiness, deceitful schemes, are we able to be sensitive to the Spirit in the midst of a world that the enemy, remember, the devil is the utmost liar. He's the father of all lies. Are we able to stand strong when doctrine and ways and deceitfulness and lies and cunningness of man come up against the Word of God? Are we able to stand strong? Why are we grown in our faith? You see, we are grounded in God when we are growing in the gospel. We're grounded in God when we're growing in the gospel. There's no way for you to wake up every day and to grow in the gospel and to know who God made you to be every day. There's no way as a mother to grow in who you're to be as a parent of God. There's no way as a man to grow in who you're to be as a husband and not have a stronger relationship with God. It's in the growth that you grow with God. It is in the growth that you know who God is. But when you're not growing, if you're not measuring, if you're not even attempting to grow in your faith, and church to you is to sit and watch and go home, if you're not counting what counts, there's a high likelihood that you're not feeling close to your Savior on a day-to-day basis. A high likelihood. But if, however, you're counting what counts, and if, however, you are marching towards the prize of being the man or woman God designed you to be, you cannot help but to be close, because none of us can grow alone. All of us need to count on the glory of God. All of us need to look at God. I mean, I prayed several times even today about different things. I prayed last night, and my prayers go a lot like this on most days. Lord, without you, I am nothing. Without you, this will all fall apart. Without you, my marriage will not be strong. Without you, Lord, I will not make good decisions as a dad. Without you, Lord, I will treat people wrong. Without you, Lord, I will grow inward and selfish. Without you, Lord, I will become boastful and prideful and arrogant. Without you, Lord, you get the point. I don't want to keep pouring out my stuff. You see, because as I'm trying to grow, I'm growing closer to my Savior, because He's reminding me of where I'm falling short, and He's reaching out for me to become the man that He's designed me to be. And so my growth, not only will one day it reveal itself in public ministry to other people, but my personal growth ties me back in with my Savior. But if I'm not counting what counts, if I'm not taking measurements, if I'm not taking stock and to ask myself, am I growing? Then what happens is I don't have connections to God on a regular basis. And here's the reverse. Here's what happens. Most people that aren't intentionally growing are unintentionally drifting. If we're not intentionally growing, we're unintentionally drifting. And you wake up one day and you say, gee, how did I get here? How did I get here? God, you're so far away. We're grounded in God when we're growing in the gospel. Lastly, the scripture says this in verse 15. Rather, everybody say rather. So you've heard all of this, like, hey, we got to grow, and God gave us people, and you got to grow, and you got to grow, and you got to grow. Well, what's the outcome? What's the measurable? Where will I be at some point? Who will I become? And the scripture says, rather speaking truth in love. Everyone say truth in love. Let's say it like you mean it. Truth in love. This is the outcome. This is where we should be headed with our lives. When somebody says, why in the world would you go to church? Why do you grow? Why do you study your Bible? Why do you lean into God? Because you're seeking out truth in love. Truth in love. We are to grow up, it says, in every way into Him. This is Jesus, into Christ, for whom the whole body, that's you and me, all of us, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, here's what the church looks like when we're all cranking. It makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. That when I'm on my game and you're on your game, we're building each other up in love. But how do we get there? Truth in love. Truth in love. You see, grown Christians speak truth in love. Here's what I'm concerned about, and here's what you should be concerned about. Some of us believe to speak truth means that you can abandon love. Some people believe that if I'm going to speak truth, who cares if it's fuzzy or not? And we cheer and we roar and we say, truth. Some of us have gotten so turned off to the idea of a proclamation of the truth of the Word of God that when someone speaks boldly and truthfully, we say, well, since there's no love, I'm out. And I'd rather have love than truth. And so now a whole new definition of love is out there. And the whole definition of love now means you've got to get rid of all truth. That if you love, you cannot speak boldly about anything. Because everything's all in. And if you say that my opinion is invalid or my opinion does not ground it in truth, then I'm going to call you a name. And so therefore, I want love over truth. I want to just love everybody. Love and love and love. But here's the question you have to ask, and I have to ask every day. Is it loving to not be truthful? Or another way, Is it loving to lie? Is it loving for someone to accept me and know that I'm living a lie? Know that the train tracks are out 100 yards away or 2 miles away, and to stand on the side and enjoy your journey? Is that loving? We all have to ask that. Like, is it loving to know something, to know it to be true, but to not say it? Is that love? But if the train tracks are out, is there a way to communicate the reason I'm yanking you and pulling you off of this train, the reason I'm tackling you and jumping, we're going to jump together. Is there a way to communicate why? The tracks are out, and I deeply care about you. And I want God's best for you. And not only is there truth that I want to convey, but there's a heart behind it. I don't want to be prideful about it. I don't need to. I'm not trying to wreck your world or change your... all I'm trying to do is to demonstrate love by speaking truth. And if I don't understand the truth, then that's great. Let's sit down and talk it through. But if the truth is what the truth is, it's not loving for me to lie to you. And see, this isn't some preacher's thought. This is God's word, that Christian maturity, Christian growth should lead me to be a person who is growing personally so my ministry will be public. And my ministry has to be to speak truth in love, to learn how to be loving with every human being on the planet, and to not hold back the truth of the gospel. But I beg you, I implore you, as a church called Captivate, let's not be content anymore to say, Pastor, I don't really know. I don't have a growth plan. Because you know in your heart as well as I do that if Chick-fil-A can measure how long I'm sitting in line, or Burger King, if they can measure how long I'm in line. For some of you, I ruined your day. I mentioned Chick-fil-A on a Sunday and it's not open and you're hungry. My bad. But if they can measure, if they can count what counts to make a few dollars on fast food, don't you think we can count what counts to grow in our faith? If healthy things grow, and I want a healthy spiritual life, then I need to be growing. And there is an end game. The end game is that I am mature, I'm not shaken, and I can speak truth and love to everyone around me. I don't get pride out of being correct. In fact, it's only out of humility that you can genuinely be a mature Christian. You genuinely learn how broken you are. And every day, God reminds you a new way of where you're broken. And so maturity, humility comes with maturity in Christ. Speaking the truth in love. Growing up to do the work of the ministry. Advancing the gospel of Christ. Being more generous than you are selfish. Knowing who your daddy is in heaven, who knit you together in your mother's womb. All of these are byproducts of spiritual growth. And I pray that each one of us, we would see the joy that when I'm growing, I'm closer to my God. But if I'm not growing, there's less connection to my God. And so I pray each one of us would say, Lord, would you develop in me in 2017 a growth plan? You may say, I need to spend more time in the Bible. You may say, I need to get into a Bible study with other believers because I'm trying to do this alone. And my wife knows for sure and for certain that the man I am on Sunday is not who she sees the rest of the week. And I need to do something about that. You as a wife may say that the lady that my husband gets throughout the week is a different one than the face I put on the weekend. As a parent, you may have to apologize to your kids and say, you know, I haven't been growing. I've been really down, and it's reflecting in how I treat you around the house. As a couple who's dating, you might say, you know, there's some things that I've gotten us involved in that aren't of God, and I need to speak truth in love. The truth is I shouldn't be doing this, and so let's in love reorient our behavior. Whatever it might be, what is the next growth step for you? Who has God called you to be? He's called you to be a man or woman made after His own image. So how can we get there? How can we grow? And in the meanwhile, grow closer to the goodness of God.